The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 16th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
From the time Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, Far be it to you, Lord, this shall never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. You are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. Then Jesus told his disciples, If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The word of the Lord. Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you, Peter said, with a stinging rebuke of Jesus. Peter spoke those words in response to Jesus telling him and the rest of the disciples that a cross was in the Son of God's future. Why such a strong reaction from Peter, who, just a few minutes earlier, had been the very mouthpiece of the Holy Spirit, confessing that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God? Why was Peter so angry about Jesus' words? He was troubled because he couldn't hear the thought of such a thing happening to his teacher and his friend, probably. Was he bothered because his understanding of how a person is made right with God was under attack? Absolutely. Peter, like all sinners, was bound by the belief that salvation is a matter of self-effort and discipline. Though the prescribed methods vary, at root is the truth that a person can and must do something in order to be made right with God. So, why did Peter become so anxious, even after hearing Jesus promise that he would be raised from the dead 3 days after his crucifixion? The answer is control. Peter was hearing clearly that his kingdom was under attack, and he was not in control of his salvation. He was hearing that by taking the sin of the world upon himself, Jesus would be saving people, not people saving themselves. Peter was hearing that the Son of God is just that, God, who does what he wills, not what sinners will. Peter was hearing that all his efforts to get God off his back was futile. In short, Peter was hearing that God was forcing him to trust Jesus for salvation, not himself. And with that, we hear the real problem, original sin. You see, from the beginning, Adam and Eve lived by trust in God's word. God promised that all they needed had been provided. Eat freely and live, God promised. There was only death to be found where there was no promise of life from God. That's how God's creation works. He created creatures to trust him totally, because there is only death where there is no trust. What was Satan's temptation of Adam and Eve? The answer is to be one's own God. That is, not to trust the God's world of living, giving promise, but trust oneself instead. Consequently, Jesus' word here about how he alone would save the world through his death and resurrection were the death knell of Satan's temptation. To be one's own God and trust in self. So Peter became the mouthpiece of Satan, who did not want Jesus to take the sin of the world in himself. Satan knew Jesus' death and resurrection would be the undoing of people trying to save themselves. If Jesus took the sin of the world, then there was nothing left for people to do in order to be right with God. And if there's nothing to do to save oneself, Satan knew that people would be forced to trust Christ alone. Satan's method of operation is tranquilizing with the trivial, making mountains out of molehills, and keeping sinners chasing their tails, all in the futile attempt to be their own God. And the salvation won by Jesus taking over the sin of the world and leaving it in the grave as he walked out the other side is the end of it all. That is why Satan, using Peter's mouth, rebuked Jesus. That is why Jesus is rebuked Satan, accusing him, focusing on self-righteousness instead of the righteousness given by God. In truth, there is no righteousness before God other than that given by Jesus alone. Perhaps here, now, why Jesus said to deny himself and take up the cross. A cross is a means of death, and Jesus is telling us that the salvation he won is the death of all our efforts to the righteousness with God apart from the gospel. We have no choice, for there is no other way. Well, I have news for you today. Sitting here are those who will not see the grave before they hear the Son of Man giving his kingdom. So, by the authority of Jesus Christ, I forgive you for the entirety of your mistrust of God. That is your word of life-giving promise. The kingdom of Christ, who is for you, is yours forever. Amen.